is brought to you by the Vipassana Meditation Center, which offers courses in Vipassana meditation as taught by S.N. Goenka in the tradition of Sayaji Ubaken. You can listen to this program again online at www.planetaudio.org.nz/Vipassana Meditation. That's V-I-P-A-S-S-A-N-A Meditation. Alternate weeks will be in Hindi. We will now hear a talk given by the meditation teacher, Mr. S.N. Goenka. In the summer of 2000, Mr. Goenka, the principal teacher of Vipassana meditation, visited the United States and spoke, along with other world spiritual leaders, at the Millennium World Peace Summit at the United Nations headquarters in New York.
Friends, leaders of the human spiritual world, leaders of the human religious world, we thank the organizers that such a wonderful occasion is here, where we all can unite and serve the humanity. Religion is religion only when it unites. Religion is no more religion when it divides. Religion is not for dividing people, it is for uniting people. So much has been said about conversion, for conversion and against conversion. I am for conversion. I am not against conversion. But conversion not from one organized religion to another organized religion. No. Conversion from misery to happiness. Conversion from bondage to liberation. Conversion from cruelty to compassion. That is the conversion needed today. And that is what this organization should make a point to implement. Our ancient country had not only given message of peace and harmony to the world, to the humanity. Enlightened persons have given a method, a technique, how to have peace, how to have harmony. To me, to think of peace in the human society, we cannot ignore individuals. If there is no peace in the mind of the individual, I can't understand how can there be real peace in the human world. If I have an agitated mind, if I have a mind all the time full of anger, hatred, ill will, animosity, how can I give peace to the world? Because I have no peace myself. I am an agitated person. Therefore, the great enlightened persons have said, first, have peace within yourself. So one has to observe whether really there is peace in me or not. All the sages and saints and seers of the world have given this advice, know thyself, know thyself. Not merely at the intellectual level, not merely accepting at the emotional or devotional level, at the actual level. When you start experiencing the truth about yourself, within yourself, at the experiential level, many of the problems get solved. you start understanding the universal law, of the nature, or universal law of the God Almighty, universal law which is applicable to one and all. When I start observing within myself and I find that I am generating anger, hatred, ill will, animosity, I immediately realize that I am the first victim of my anger. I am the first victim of the hatred, animosity that I am generating within myself. Then only I start harming others. This is law of nature. If I observe within myself, I find as soon as I generate any negativity in the mind, there is a lot of physical reactions. My body starts burning, heated up, palpitation, tension. I am a miserable person. And when I generate negativity in me and become miserable, I don't keep this misery limited to myself. I keep on throwing this misery on others. I make the entire atmosphere around me so tense that anybody who comes in contact with me becomes miserable. And I talk of peace. I talk of happiness. Keep on talking of happiness and peace. What is happening in me is more important to me than anything else. Law of nature. And if I am free from these negativities, if my mind is free from negativities, mind is pure, again law of nature starts working. I observe within myself, at this moment, there is no negativity in the mind, and look, the nature or the God Almighty has started rewarding me. I feel so peaceful, so peaceful. As when I generate negativity, I observe, I become so miserable. So anyone belonging to this religion or that religion, this tradition or that tradition, this country or that country, when one breaks the law of the nature, one generates negativity in the mind, bound to suffer. The nature starts punishing this person. The hell fire within. One starts feeling the misery of hell fire within. This is the seed that I am sowing. The seed of hell fire within. After death, I will get nothing but hell fire. Law of nature is such. If I keep my mind pure, full of love, full of compassion, I enjoy the kingdom of heaven within myself. And this seed of kingdom of heaven will bring nothing but the fruit of the kingdom of heaven after death. Whether I call myself a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian or a Jain, makes no difference. Makes no difference. Human being is human being. Human mind is human mind. Conversion should be from the impurity of the mind to purity of the mind. How people get changed. Such wonderful changes come. No magic, no miracle. It's a pure science of observing the interaction of mind and matter within ourselves. How mind keeps on influencing the matter, the body. How body keeps on influencing the mind. If you keep on observing, we understand the law of nature so clearly. That as and when I generate negativity, I start suffering. And as and when I am free from negativity, I start enjoying peace and harmony. That can be practiced by one and all. A wonderful tradition, a wonderful technique given by the enlightened one in our ancient country and spread in the world. Even today, people from different communities, different traditions, different religions, they come and learn this technique. They get the same benefit. They continue to remain Hindu as Hindu, Buddhist as Buddhist, Muslim as Muslim, Christian as Christian. Makes no difference. Human being is human being. What makes the difference? But a big difference comes. They become real spiritual people, full of love, full of compassion, good for themselves, good for others. When I generate peace in my mind, the entire atmosphere around me gets permeated with the vibration of peace. Anybody who comes in contact with me starts enjoying peace. This is the real conversion which is necessary, nothing else. I have heard the sound of the bell, but still permit me to read out a message of my ancient country, a benevolent message from my ancient country, which is inscribed on the rocks from 2,300 years and gives a message to the entire human world. The message of the great emperor Ashoka, an ideal emperor, how an emperor rules. Now this message says, one should not honor only one's own religion and condemn other religions. Important message to the world of today. You keep on condemning others, keep on saying that mine is the best, mine is the best. You are creating difficulties for the human beings. Instead, one should honor other religions, for various reasons. Every religion worth the name has got this core, the wholesome core of love, compassion, goodwill. Every religion give honor to the religion because of this core. The outer shell always differs. This rite, that ritual, this ceremony, that ceremony, this belief, that belief. Don't quarrel on those. But whatever is inner essence, give importance to that and there will be no quarrel. By so doing, one helps one's own religion to grow and also renders service to the religions of others. In acting otherwise, one digs the grave of one's own religion. Understand? Big warning. And harms other religions as well. The message says, someone who honors his own religion and condemns other religions may do so out of devotion to his religion, thinking, I will glorify my religion. But his actions injure his own religion more gravely. Now a message. Let all listen. The message of Dharma, the message of the universal law, concord is good. It is only concord which helps us, not the quarrel. Let all be willing to listen to the doctrine professed by the others. Don't condemn anything. Give importance to the essence of the teaching of every religion and there will be really peace, real harmony.
Next, we will play an excerpt from a question and answer session with Mr. Goenka.
Is it possible to develop a passion or a craving towards the subtle vibrations? This is what is taught. When people start practicing this, initially they get very unpleasant, gross sensations. And they train their mind, well, they are impermanent, they will pass away, just observe. And suddenly they start feeling a flow, very pleasant sensation, very subtle vibration throughout the body. Then the danger comes. You start craving and clinging for that. And the teacher will say, this is the danger. When you start craving for something pleasant, then you have aversion towards something unpleasant. Understand, this is also impermanent. Many a times we find a student comes, oh, Goenkaji, I reached the final stage. I get such wonderful vibrations throughout the body. This is Ananda, Ananda, Paramananda, etc. I said, no, still you are in the field of mind and matter. By evening, this person comes, I have lost my meditation. It was so good this morning. And now look, with a very long face, sad face. He says, I have lost there. That's why I say, when you experience pleasant sensation, don't take it eternal. It's bound to pass away sooner or later, and then you will become miserable if you have attachment towards it. So the whole technique is to come out of attachment. If it is not a sectarian teaching, and you are not a guru, so why do some of your students bow down before the teacher? Ask the students. I never tell them to bow down. If they have a feeling of gratitude and they want to express that, nothing wrong. But gurudom should not arise because of that. What is guru? A guru, when he says that you all are weak people, how can you liberate yourself? And I am such a strong person, I will liberate you. Come, surrender to me and I will liberate. Then that gurudom is dangerous. This person will exploit you in many ways. So be careful. When the teacher says or the guide says, I can't do anything, I only show you the path. And you have to walk on the path. Every step you have to take yourself. You have to liberate yourself. Nobody else can liberate you. Somebody can give you guidance, that's all. Then the guru is just a guide, not the type of guru who tries to exploit you. Can children practice vipassana? And at what age? Before birth. They must be given vipassana before birth. A pregnant mother, when she comes to a 10-day course, she is not coming only for herself, she is coming for the coming child also. And what wonderful vibration this child gets. Purity, purity, free from defilement. And on the 10th day when she learns love, compassion, goodwill, what nutrition she is giving to the child. And the child comes out a very healthy child mentally. And therefore many pregnant mothers come to the course, they say, I want a Dhamma baby, and they get Dhamma baby. So give this training while the child is in the womb, and you will find the child comes out a very happy person. What is grief? How do you work with it? When you lose the peace of your mind, there is grief. So why lose the peace of the mind? If you lose the peace of the mind only on the surface, and then you get rid of this grief, you feel I am out of my grief, but deep inside the grief is there constantly. There is disturbance deep inside. Come out of that disturbance, and vipassana helps you to go to the depth of the mind and come out of the disturbance at the root level. Can vipassana help my asthma? It is said that it is related to mind stress. Yes. All the psychosomatic diseases automatically get removed, but don't come with the aim of curing any of your physical ailment. Otherwise, all the time your attention will be, my physical ailment, is it becoming better or not? Is it going away or not? Is it reducing or not? You won't practice vipassana. Practice vipassana. The mind becomes purer and purer. Then any illness with the base of mind automatically gets removed. It's just a byproduct. The main thing is how to purify the mind at the root level. I know the Buddha's teaching doesn't give importance to miracles, but aren't they useful to attract others? If you attract others by miracles, then they will look for miracles only. They won't practice. The biggest attraction is when they find how a very miserable person has changed so much. How a person is such a terrible inhuman life living, how he has changed with compassion. That is the biggest attraction. That is the biggest miracle. Of course, miracles do come. As you practice, you go deeper. Miracles come, but don't show these miracles to anybody. Otherwise, Dhamma will get polluted. Keep the Dhamma pure. It is not for showing miracle. It is for showing the result of Dhamma, how people get liberated from their misery. That is more important. Are there female teachers of vipassana? Certainly. What difference between male and female? Human being is human being. Human mind is human mind. We have vipassana female teachers. And I carry one teacher with me. So there is no bar. All students can participate, male or female. And they are teachers, males, females. People from every religion can participate, and they are participating. And they are teachers from every religion. There are Christian priest teachers, nun teachers. There are Muslim teachers. There are Sikh teachers, there are Hindu teachers, there are Buddha. No, makes no difference. Human being is human being. They realize the fact and they know this is an exercise, mental exercise. As you do asana and pranayama, not necessary to convert yourself to any religion. This is a physical exercise to keep the body healthy. So India found out this wonderful mental exercise which keeps the mind healthy. Anybody can practice and everybody can practice, and they are practicing and they are teachers from every religion.
Vipassana, which means to see things as they really are, is one of India's most ancient techniques of meditation. It was taught in India about 2,500 years ago as a universal remedy for universal ills. Vipassana meditation is a simple, practical technique which enables one to lead a more positive, balanced and happy life. It focuses on the deep interconnection between mind and body, which can be experienced directly by disciplined attention to the physical sensations that form the life of the body and that continuously interconnect with and condition the life of the mind. Although Vipassana was practiced and taught by the Buddha, it contains nothing of a sectarian or religious nature. The technique of Vipassana meditation is taught at 10-day residential courses during which participants learn the basics of the method and practice sufficiently to experience its beneficial results. More than 100 meditation centers have been established around the world, including in Asia, the Middle East, Europe, North America, and Australasia. New Zealand has had a center since 1987. This program is brought to you by the Vipassana Meditation Center, which offers courses in Vipassana meditation as taught by S.N. Goenka in the tradition of Sayaji Ubaken. The New Zealand Center is located at 153 Burnside Road, Makaurau, Kaukopakopa, approximately 1 hour drive north of Auckland. The website is www.medini.dharma.org. That is www.medini.dharma.org. The phone number is 09-420-5319. That's 09-420-5319. There are several centres in Australia. For more information, contact Dharma Bhumi at 212 Station Street, Blackheath, New South Wales. The telephone number is 02-4787-3600 and the website is www.bhumi.dharma.org. That's www.bhumi.dharma.org.